John chapter number 14. Last week, Brother Brandenburg, I asked him to kind of kick things off about the role of fathers. And Brother Brandenburg, you got to listen when he speaks, and you have to think. One time when I got done preaching at a conference, and he was there, and after the conference, he walked up to me, and he said something to me about my message. And when he was done, I said, "Brother Brandenburg, I don't understand one thing you just said." And he goes, "You did a good job going through the verses and what they meant." I was like, "I get you, right?" He taught some wonderful truths and gave a good foundation last week. And the fact that there in the Garden of Eden, the very first relationship was a father-child relationship with God the Father and Adam. And I want to look at this again, what I can this month, and because it's very, very important. Before we get into it, I want you all to do an exercise with me, all right? I want you to think right now about your father. And I want you to kind of describe, you can jot some things down if you have pen and paper or just in your mind there, but I want you to describe him to yourself. His characteristics, his attitude, his spirit, his the way he handled things. And I know we have a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different... If we went around the room tonight, we'd hear a different story with every one of us. But I want you to consider that real quick. And I want you to put some thought into that. And then as you're doing that, let me read a verse. You can look at it with me. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 7. John 14 and verse number 7 says this: "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Look back in John chapter 16, verse number 25. John 16 and verse number 25. Says this: "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." Now we're going to look at a lot more verses here in a second. But one of the primary purposes that Jesus Christ came to this earth was this: to reveal the Father. Now we know that he came, obviously, to go to the cross for our salvation. But that act is an act of revealing the Father's love. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus, when he came, in every miracle that he performed, every truth that he taught, everything that he said, was one of the purposes was to reveal the Father. Who the Father was and is. In essence, Jesus Christ came to be the Father on earth. Now that's something that's not taught a lot, but it's very clear in the Bible. Here in this passage of Scripture, he came to reveal the Father. You're going to see this with me. Look back in John chapter number 5. Now just look at these verses with me. Stay with me, all right? And so we can lay this foundation here so we can build upon it. In John chapter number 5, and I'm not changing any doctrines or anything like that, but it's something very clear that obviously the Lord wants us to see here. In John chapter number 5, look at verse number 19. John 5, verse number 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So again, what's the Lord saying? That everything that he's doing is what the Father is doing through him. And when you see him, you're seeing the Father. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in his self, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Again, the Father's working through the Son. Look over in John chapter number 8. Then John chapter 8, just look at a few verses with me real quick. John 8 in verse number 18. John 8:18 says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Look in verse number 29 of John chapter number 8. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. In verse number 42, Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Look over in John chapter number 10. John chapter 10 and in verse number 30. John 10 and verse number 30. Look at the words here and that the Lord said. John 10:30 very simply says this, I and my Father are what? One. Again, now back in John chapter 14, let's read a few more verses than what we did to start out. John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The verse that we read. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, in that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, what have we read here, all right? The fact is this, that the Father's love and care is intended to be demonstrated in the person of Christ. Everything that he did, Jesus came to heal and to comfort those who were hurting. I say it because there's this disconnection, unfortunately, amongst many Christians with Jesus and the Father. But Jesus came to do the works of the Father. You following that? He came to do the works of the Father. Most Christians have a wrong view of God as the Father, because we base it upon the concept of our earthly father and not on the Word of God. Rather, we take this past relationship that we've had with an earthly father and we kind of attach that to who the Heavenly Father is. And if you will stop and think with me, if you did my exercise, you will find, and I'm not saying it's 100%, but the great majority of people will take their viewpoints of their earthly father and attach them to God. And it greatly sways the way that they think about God. Now, they may not mean a whole lot to you yet, but I think by the time we're done this month, you will. But I'm telling you, as someone who counsels with a lot of people, as someone who's done a lot of research and has met with some counselors, biblical counselors, all right, pastors and those who work in biblical counseling, that the reality is this, that people, that struggle emotionally and people that struggle many times spiritually is a result of a misconception of God as their Father. And they many times attach their viewpoint of the earthly Father to God. I'll build on in just a second. You all understand this concept I'm about to tell you. It's hard to trust a stranger. I mean, if someone walked up to you that you've never met before, you know, and wanted to give you some weird advice, you would have a hard time accepting that. It's hard to trust a stranger, much less love him. What I'm about to tell you is a life-changing thing if you'll grasp it with me this month. Too many people see the Heavenly Father as some cosmic, I call it a cosmic policeman 10 million light years away that we just don't get. And how can we put confidence in someone that we do not know? Most people in any typical church today, unfortunately, there's a weakness and a frailness about their Christianity, and it's because they don't know the Father. Now, I'm not talking about they're not saved. All those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's did for us on the cross, they're going to heaven. But I'm saying their Christianity many times and their emotional stability, and like it or not, and the reason why this is going to be a very deep thing to think about is because for many people, there is a disconnection between the relationship with them and God. And a lot of times it's because of a struggling relationship with the Father. And that issue makes us very unstable. A double-minded man in James chapter number 1 is unstable in what? All his ways. And when we can't build on this relationship with God, and again, what you're not going to hear from me tonight or this month, you're not going to hear from me that you can't understand a relationship with God unless you had a perfect father, because no one has a perfect father. I don't care who you are. You don't even, as powerful of an influence that a father is, you do not, and it's Father's Day this month, and I get that, all right? But you don't even need a father to have a great relationship with God. You may have the worst father that ever existed on the face of the earth, but you can have a great relationship with God. Jesus came, and I want you to get this. Christ came to reveal the Father to us. This is a concept we have to grasp. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are what? He came to teach us who the Father is. Look over in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. And this is something that's taught on. It's one of those things that when you stop and study, you're like, wow. But look in Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And look with me in verse number 8. In Colossians 2 and verse number 8. It says this, beware, Colossians 2, 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Look what it says in verse 9. For in him, that's who? Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, every attribute of the Father exists in the Lord. It's exemplified in the Lord. Like it or not, if you, and probably if you go home and think about this, and I'll tell you more about it in just a second, people unfortunately get the wrong viewpoint of God the Father because of this earthly cursed, sin-cursed world that we live in, and they throw some wrong attributes on God. I could simply state it this way. How many have a close, intimate relationship with the Father? Because that's what God wants. That's why we were created. We were created for that purpose. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for salvation. Everybody should be. We were created to have a relationship. And our stability as a Christian is very much founded upon this relationship with the Father. I want you to consider some things with me. Just stay with me real quick. I want you to consider tonight the Father's care. The Father's care. Life is made up of relationships. Life's made up. Some are good, some are bad. All are necessary. But the basic common denominator of every relationship that we have on this earth started with and originated with man's relationship with God. As Brother Brandenburg preached last week, this father-child relationship. Now, Adam lost this in the fall. And since that time, man's pursuit and his purpose in life, he has sought some sort of worship to restore this father-child relationship. What I'm preaching on this month, the devil hates. He does not want you to have a close relationship with the Father. God could have chose any title for us to call him by. God could have chosen, there's multiple names for God in the Bible. But the one that God chose to exemplify our relationship is Father. And that's important. Look over in 2 Corinthians, back a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And look with me in verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4. It says this, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." And we understand what the verse is saying here. The God of this world is who? That's Satan. That's the devil. He's blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, catch this, about Christ, who is the what? Image of who? God, should shine unto them. The devil does not want you to understand who God is. He doesn't want you to see in his Son, who is the image of God. He wants to blind our eyes to this. The devil doesn't want us to have this relationship. Again, a lot of times we unfortunately attach to God what we went through as young people. In my research I found, and I will attribute, this information is not mine, Pastor Rick Carter, Beth Haven Baptist Counseling, did a huge research across the country at all kinds of these conferences, and he had a questionnaire passed out about this topic, which I found interesting in our studies. Listen to some people and what they wrote about their fathers. A lady named Jennifer in Colorado said, "My dad was two-faced, irresponsible, and a perfectionist. Nothing was ever good enough for him. He seemed selfish and cruel." And guess what her viewpoint on God is? "I can't please him." A lady named Leanne in Arizona said, "My dad always seemed so far away from me. I think he wanted to love me, but he just didn't know how." Guess what her viewpoint of God is? A man named John, I didn't write where he was from, said, "I hardly knew my dad. He was always too busy working to spend time with me." And then guess what his viewpoint of God is? All three of these people are saved, but they lack this close relationship with God because Jennifer doesn't think she can please him. Leanne, he's just unpersonal, he's distant. John, he's insignificant to God. We must study Christ and how he revealed the Father if we're going to enjoy the right relationship with the Father. Because in the Son, we find the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My children, while I have a great influence in their life, and I understand that, and I'm not belittling that at all, but if my children base their concept of God upon me as their father, then God's going to have some serious faults. Because I'm imperfect. And so is every other father. I'm not giving us any excuses. We need to strive to be as right as we can so that we can continue to help that relationship with them. But the fact is this, for every one of us tonight, that if we want to enjoy this father-child relationship that God wants us to have, He tells us that we can cry, Abba, Father. Amen? He wants us to enjoy this personal, intimate relationship with Him. Then we have to get our viewpoint of who the Father is, not from any other daddy, not from a pastor, not from a good, godly person, but how did Jesus show us the Father? Because when we base it upon this, it's perfect. And we're going to learn a lot. And I only have a couple weeks to teach on it because camp and everything. But we have to study this concept because truly, and I mean this with all my heart because it helped me a lot, it has changed your life. I thank God for my father, great father, but he has faults. Just like his son, just like his dad. And I can't base who God is off my dad. I have to base who God is off the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, listen to what I'm about to say. Again, this is something that Pastor Carter wrote. That 100% of those who come for counseling with spiritual or emotional issues has a connection to a result of an ignorance in who God the Father is. They don't enjoy this relationship. So why am I teaching on it? Why am I preaching on it? Number one, underneath this, why is it so important? And the answer to that is this, because God commanded that we know God. The Bible commands that we know who God is. And we always sit there and say, well, of course. Well, do we? When I tell you to describe God, what are some of the things that come to your mind? And I've asked people, and here's what the answers are. He's almighty. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. Those are wonderful things. We call those, and we could go on tonight, but we call those the attributes of God. Right? If I had you to describe Abraham Lincoln, how would you describe Abraham Lincoln? 16th president, tall, a beard probably. I'm sure honest would come up, right? When it came my turn, I'd say way overrated, all right? Sorry, I'm not a big Lincoln fan, all right? But, you know, we could go on and share our different thoughts about Abraham Lincoln, right? But how many of us know him? We know about him. How many of us are personally connected to him? Zero. And if your only concept of God is he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, that's great. But God didn't say, call me the all-knowing one. God didn't say, call me the omnipresent one. God said, I'm your father. A close, intimate relationship. And the Bible wants us to understand this. Look at some verses with me real quick. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 17. Ephesians 1. In verse number 17. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what? God wants us to know Him. In Matthew chapter number 22, look at Matthew chapter 22. Look at these verses with me real quick. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse number 37. Matthew 22 and verse number 37. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. God wants us to love him with everything we got. This close, intimate relationship with him. Look back in Psalm chapter number 9. Look back in Psalm chapter number 9. Look at these verses with me, please. In Psalm 9. While you're turning there, let me read you John 17:6. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. But Jesus said, I've manifested thy name unto these men. Look in Psalm chapter number 9. Look with me in verse number 10. Psalm 9:10 says this, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Do you trust God? I have a questionnaire, and I may give it to you later. But I ask you questions about God and how well and what you think about him. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, one more verse, look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse number 29. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 29. Says, but if, Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God wants us to know him. And to know him, again, do you know Abraham Lincoln? Do you know George Washington? Well, you know some things about him. But there's a difference between how, you know, Brother Doug knows Abraham Lincoln and how he knows me. Right. He knows about Abraham Lincoln, but he knows me. Right. Does that make sense, everybody? Right. God wants us to know him. People struggle having a relationship with God because they don't know him. People are weak in their spiritual life because they don't know him. Jesus said, I and the Father are what?
One.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's no wonder Christians struggle, living in this world. You know, if you were to take, you know, me and drop me in the middle of Papua New Guinea in a language I do not know, and I just drop me off in the middle of the country, I'm going to feel really weird. I'm not going to know how to live. I'm not going to know how to talk. I'm going to struggle. If we try to live in this world and we don't know the creator of this world, how he wants things to work and run, no wonder we are going to struggle. God wants us to know him. What are the benefits of knowing him as Father? Again, not just attributes of God, but understanding who he is as Father. There is no relationship more critical than our relationship with God. Children, there's no relationship more critical than their relationship with a parent or parents. I talked to a person in charge of a home for troubled teenagers. And I asked this person, I said, what percentage, they've been doing this ministry for 40 plus years, and I asked him, I said, what percentage of the people that come to your home are from adopted situations? And the answer was this, and get this, 40 plus years of ministry, 95%. And the person went on to say that they can't grasp the concept, ready, of love. When we view God, if we don't have a great relationship with him, we're going to struggle. I found this in my own research this week. You can look it up. statistic, the average father in 2020, hear what I'm about to say, the average father spent 6 minutes a day with their child. 6 minutes. We've almost excused that in our world. The dads are busy. Dads have their man caves. Dads have their side jobs. But that is in direct contrast to what the Father wants to do. What do we know about God's relationship with us? How much time does He spend with us? He said what? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is always there with us. It's a total opposite of what we've almost excused in our society. Look over in Psalm chapter number 68. Look at this verse real quick. Psalm chapter 68. I know I'm throwing a lot at you and a lot to think about. We'll build on it this month. Just let me lay the foundation. In Psalm 68, verse number 4. Psalm 68, verse number 4. Says, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. Now look what it says about our God. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. He picks two groups of people to exemplify who He is. And those are a father to the fatherless or an orphan, or a judge to the widows. That word judge is an interesting word to study. I encourage you to study that out. It doesn't mean one that's going to, you know, lay down a sentencing. Everyone ever seen the show Antiques Roadshow? Y'all, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? These guys that will look at something and appraise it. You know, I just got this little cup at a garage sale for $5. It's worth $20,000. Bring! Woo! Why can't I ever find stuff like that, right? Right? But these guys, they are judging the worth of these things. An appraiser, that's what that word judge means. This will change. This is awesome. He's a father to the fatherless and a judge or an appraiser of the widows. In other words, God wants to show them their worth. And He picks those two groups because, I mean, look at me, they are the most vulnerable to the wrong concept of love, of God, of worth. That's why in the book of James, pure religion, undefiled. I mean, it's not praise the Lord for standards, praise the Lord for all these things that we enjoy. But what did the Bible say here in James? I'll read it to you real quick. James chapter 1 and in verse number 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. Because there's a group of people that they would have a tendency to feel less value than someone else, a tendency to feel less loved, to feel vulnerable, and God said, make sure they know they're loved. This relationship, by the time I'm done this month, I want us to see in the Lord Jesus, not in a person like me or you or any of our fathers, but I want to see who the Father is. Because if we've seen Him, we've seen the Father. And let me give you a preview of what we're going to look at. Listen to what I'm about to say here. And I'm going to pray. When we see the Father in the Son, we see, and listen to how this will contrast to the typical worldly scenario. Some of these you may check off and say, yeah, that was my dad, and some, yeah. Because we have imperfect, there's no such thing. But with God, it's perfection. We have, listen to me real quick, a need, you and I have a need for unconditional love. A need of personal self-worth. A need of righteousness. A need for security. A need for significance. A need for approval. a need for unconditional acceptance. These are God-given needs in our life. And these are every child's deepest need. These seven things is what every child looks for and needs. And that is exactly what we find through Jesus in the Father. There are a lot of Christians who struggle with unconditional love. The need for unconditional love, personal self-worth, righteousness, security, significance, approval, and unconditional acceptance. I'll say them again in just a second. I can't tell you how many people sat in my office and said this following phrase: I don't think God loves me. How do we get there? Because we didn't get there because God failed in any way. Correct. And God does love unconditionally. Right. But the devil wants to blind us of this relationship. I can't tell you how many people sit in my office and I'm useless. I'm no good to anyone. Maybe some in the auditorium you felt this way. The need for righteousness. I can't do anything right. I'm terrible. The need for security. They feel like they doubt God's care, they doubt God's protection, salvation. The need for significance. People sit in my office and I'm making no difference. I'm impacting no one. The need for approval. Your Father loves you. The need for unconditional acceptance. I can take you to a verse right now that says you have been made accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted. But the devil doesn't want you to feel that way. I can't tell how many people have told me, I just don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I'm accepted. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like... And if there's a struggle in one of these areas, it usually points back to unfortunately, a misconception in that they've attributed something to a relationship here on this earth instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you look at the Lord, you find all these things. He will not fail in any of these areas. But many people struggle. If you don't in any of these areas, praise the Lord. But I'm looking at you tonight as someone who is sitting across to the desk from hundreds. That this is it. People throw their hands up and quit because they don't feel these things. They don't realize these things. They doubt these things. And the God of this world has blinded them from it. People have walked away from church. They've walked away from the Word of God. They've walked away. Or they struggle. They sit in church and they just don't get how some people can do these things. And they feel like it must be me. God wants everyone to know this. We're going to look at it this month and how the Lord showed all seven of these things. Not because of any other reason other than this. He wants us. That's how we know who the Father is. We want to learn the Father. Not just an attribute, but who he is and how much he adores you. He loves you. And I want us to have a great intimate relationship with him. I've not said anything odd. I'm not changing any doctrine. It's nothing. It's just stopping to realize he's more than just some impersonal being out there. Y'all see that? And it will be a struggle when you didn't have a really close relationship. And I get it if you had a rough relationship with an earthly father, but you got to quit looking at that and you have to look at the Lord Jesus and let him correct your thinking. I have to do that, and you have to do that to understand this relationship.